This evening we are turning to Psalm number 93 and the whole of the Psalm. 93, to God's glory. The Lord doth reign, clothed is he with majesty most bright. His works do show him clothed to be and girt about with might. We sing the whole Psalm, 93. Now, once again, we join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are reminded always in the scriptures that God is interested in our prayers, our concerns, our hopes and fears, our needs, our distractions, our indifference. God is interested in us for good. We are made for him, by him, in his likeness, to have fellowship with him, to know him, to glorify and enjoy him forever and in this present life. And all around us, O God, we see disorder. We see disorder within ourselves. We see disorder within our families so often, within the church, within our neighborhoods, within the world, within the international relations. We see disorder in political arguments in high places. We see disorder in legal systems, in court processes. All around us we see discord. We see disharmony. We see a world that is obviously in some trouble, a world that in many ways is traumatized. And a world that is increasingly traumatized. As populations increase, so do problems, so do sins, so do difficulties of management, and so do so many problems seem almost intractable and insoluble, too complex with the complexity of life, with the increasing complexity of life, with the increasing ability for instant communication, instant damage can be done, as well as instant communication of the gospel. And so as we gather here again under the open scriptures, we pray that we would sit under the scriptures, sitting under the word, recognizing that the scripture is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, but also to make us wise concerning many other issues as well. Not only salvation, but sin and ourselves and our relationships, and to understand what God is like, the attributes of God, the kind of God that the scripture speaks about, a credible God, a God who is a person, a God who is a good person, a glorious, gracious person, a God who by no means winks at sin or will justify the ungodly, but a God who delights to pardon and to put away sin and draw sinners to himself. And for this cause, the Son of God came into the world in such a manner, such humility and lowliness, such identity made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and for such a purpose, to bear sin, to deal with sin, to condemn sin in the flesh of his Son. And all of these things, Lord, we read in the scriptures, and we confess again that they are beyond our understanding. We believe because faith is God's gift, and all God's people are believers in God's word. But so many things that are hard to be understood, we do not know the meanings of so many of the things that we believe. And sometimes we speak as if wisdom will die with us. And sometimes we are so, so quick to speak and slow to listen, slow to ponder, lacking in meditation and considered thinking about so much of what we hear in the preaching of the word and in our reading of it and in our conversations as Christians. So little seems to impact us and transform us. So much of the world clings to us, and so much of us clings to the world. We confess that we are a worldly people. We are prosperous. And we know that prosperity is a tremendous danger. And we know, O God, that there are more warnings against prosperity than against poverty, against ease and comfort, more warnings concerning these than against suffering. And so as we consider ourselves, Heavenly Father, deliver us from that complacent religiosity that imagines that because life is good, as good as we could wish it, naturally speaking, that therefore we are the blessed of the Lord. We may well be, but we may not be. These blessings may not be God's benediction upon us at all, but a sign of God's anger. As in the days of Israel of old, he gave them flesh to eat. He gave them the lusts of their heart and sent leanness into their soul. They mingled among the nations and learned their ways and were cast off by God. And we confess, Heavenly Father, that we are sometimes very blind and insensitive to the dangers And we imagine that simply believing in Christ is enough. And in a sense it is the link, but faith works by love. And love is greater. Love is the greatest of all. Love to God. Love to God's people. Love to God's word. Love even to God's enemies as God loves his enemies. We are to be like our Father who gives good things to all, whether we call upon him or not. The just and the unjust alike are dealt with kindly by God, even in a broken, disordered, fractured, traumatized, deeply troubled world. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the scriptures and to see what really is in the heart of the message. This is our prayer, O God, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us read now in Romans chapter 8, in Paul's letter to the Romans, and reading from the beginning, we shall read up to about verse 25 or so. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that is, make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you, that is, in the resurrection. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We wait with endurance for that which we hope. according to his word. May God bless these words to us. We remind you of these notices concerning the services this coming Lord's Day. We expect that they will be recorded. We're not quite ready to move into the church. We know that the COVID restrictions have been eased somewhat, and many of our congregations, probably all of our other congregations, have gone back to public worship. We have a problem with our church. We have a problem with our steeple. We have a problem with the scaffolding in our steeple. The Deacon's Court is doing the best it can in a very difficult circumstance. And it's not quite safe for us to go back. And we are waiting for a safety pronouncement before we can go back into the church. We may have to rent worship premises from the folks in the Mechanics School of Art for a little while prior to going back into the church. So that's the reason we are being impacted by circumstances that are not in our control, really. And that's why we are still not able to gather together. And so we continue to record messages and gather around the recorded scriptures. And so we welcome you to continue listening in. And if you're listening in, perhaps for the first time, we welcome you. And we hope that you receive something good from the word of the Lord as we try to make it plain in these recorded messages. Well, we're going to sing now in Psalm number 94, the 94th Psalm, and we're going to sing verses 1 to 4. Psalm 94, verses 1 to 4.
Oh God.